You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. All this month on the podcast, we are getting you ready for the 2018 NFL Draft. Today on this Mock Draft Monday edition of Locked On Bears, we're starting to turn our attention to the second round and that Bears' 39th overall pick. Our friend Mark Schofield from Locked On Patriots will be joining us to break down some of these draft prospects that kind of fall into the first/second round range here. We'll touch on a variety of positions that all could be in the mix for that Bears second round pick, and we'll even touch on whether or not the New England Patriots could be a team looking to move up to the 8th overall pick. Mark and I really cover a lot of ground here with this late first, early second round draft range, so let's jump right in. Joining us now on Locked On Bears is my friend Mark Schofield. You might know him as the host of Locked On Patriots here on the Locked On Podcast Network, but he is also a writer over at InsideThePylon.com, where they just put out their yearly draft guide. We'll dive into that here in a minute. But Mark also has started writing some NFL draft content and such for Pro Football Weekly. So the resume continues to grow. You can follow him and find all his work on Twitter at Mark Schofield. That's S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. Mark, welcome back to the Locked On Bears podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Lauren. Always a pleasure to be with you. And we were chatting before the show about a couple of things in the football Twitter world. And as we get closer to the draft, it just seems like, I don't want to say tensions are running high, but I think for a lot of us, we just kind of want the draft to get here so we can get through it and just move on to, I guess, next year's draft.
Yeah, I've been talking to Brian Perez over at BearsWire about this. Draft fatigue is already starting to set in, and it feels a little bit early this year. Like, for me, I feel like it's usually like mid-April when there's like still like a couple weeks to the draft, but it's not quite close enough yet. But it's kind of felt like this year, even beginning of April, it's starting to set in. Does it feel earlier for you at all?
It always feels early for me. Like, you know, and I'm in a unique spot where, you know, the bulk of my work is on quarterbacks. And so, you know, my work is done, you know, sometime late February, early February sometimes. And so then it's like, man, we're still talking about this. I feel like we should have moved on. I mean, you know, dark secret here, I'm already starting to watch the guys for next year's draft. That's how crazy I am. But yeah, for me, the fatigue sets in and you're just like, how many times can we have this debate about this guy or that guy or this other guy? Like, let's just, you know, have the draft in like, I don't know, early March so we can just move on with our lives. Like, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, it's like scouting combine, pro days, draft, just like April 2nd.
Yeah, let's just go boom, boom, boom. Like, we don't need to drag this out until basically into May. I mean, and then if you have it at that point, then we could actually have maybe a little bit of May and June as time away. Because, I mean, you know this too. You know, writing about football, working in the football media world, you get like June and that's it. And then you're like right back at it with like training camp and like everything kicks up again. Like, it'd be nice to have a little bit of May too, you know, like Memorial Day weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, you can only – the dream is being able to write about football and talk about it 24/7, 365. So
is that really the dream?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, again, because we're in the fatigue part of the draft season where that seems more nightmarish than anything. But, you know, here I sit here and say this as a guy that like left another career behind to come do this. So I probably shouldn't be complaining about it too much. I don't want to go back to that life.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about not dragging on draft conversation, but here we are. We're going to talk some NFL draft. Hopefully, for your fatigue's sake, we're not going to be talking any draft quarterbacks because the Chicago Bears are far from that. But your New England Patriots, they've been kind of in this quarterback conversation. And I want to start there because they have pick 23, pick 31. Then in the second round, it's 43 and 63. So four picks in the first two rounds. I guess there's sort of a three-part question for you here, but they all kind of follow into each other. What are the chances, or I guess how much are you expecting the Patriots to use those picks to kind of move up? And if they do move up, what positions might they be looking for? And then finally, Do you see the eighth overall pick where the Bears pick as a potential landing spot, or would they be going maybe higher for a quarterback or maybe slightly lower for a non-quarterback?
Let me break it down this way. When the trade initially happened and you see that the Patriots now have 23 and 31, you know, anytime a team, you know, makes a move into the first round, makes a move where they can get higher into the first round, obviously everybody's first thought is, ooh, quarterback, right? Especially in New England, because we know that, you know, Brady's window is closing. It is time to think about life after Brady. They're going to be drafting a quarterback. So you sit there and you're like, oh, ooh, now they're going to be at 23. My first thought was, ooh, Lamar Jackson. This is going to be exciting, man, because Lamar might be on the board at 23. This is going to be fun. And then you remember we're talking about Bill Belichick. We're talking about a guy that does things his way. So my initial reaction tweet was, you know, a funny, happy, you know, Ron Swanson dancing gif when I'm like, ooh, Lamar's going to be on the board at 23.
Yeah, obligatory Ron Swanson gif. Right. Yeah.
And then I followed up with Larry David, the meh gif, when you're like, well, in reality, they're going to sit there and they're going to draft Colton Miller and Sam Hubbard with those two picks because that's what Bill Belichick will do. I mean, I do think that the likelihood is somewhat increasing that the Patriots consider moving up if a guy falls into that 8 to 12 type range. Because even with 23 and 31, if you want to get to two, you're basically having to trade all five of their picks in the first three rounds, plus probably something next year. That's if you go by that like draft value chart. Like I tried to do the math on it, my head started to hurt, so I realized they're probably not getting to two. You know, but if a guy falls to that like 8, 9, 10 range where the Bears are, they might consider it. Now the question is, does somebody fall that far? And I don't think so. I feel like this is going to be one of those crazy drafts where we're going to see four quarterbacks in the first five, possibly four in a row out of the gate. And then you wonder, you know, do the Patriots really try to move up, or do they move up for a different position? I mean, the last time they had two first-round draft picks, they moved up a little bit with each pick to get Dont'a Hightower and Chandler Jones. Like they did it to get defensive guys. And they might do something similar where if Sam Hubbard's on the board, say at 21, and that's who they want to get, maybe they move up to get him. You know, maybe they want to address offensive line. I keep seeing Colton Miller linked to them. I'm not so sure I'm fully on board with him being a first-round pick, but he needs development. Dont'a Scarnecchia, the Patriots offensive line coach, might be the guy to do it. So maybe they move up a pick or two to make sure they get him. Would they, you know, we saw the Albright tweet, Patriots and Rosen. As much as I would love that in theory, as much as I like Rosen, I'm just not so sure that's the route they go. The Patriots are going to do something boring with these picks. Now, again, having said all that, Lauren, every time I try to make a, you know, every time I try to crawl into the mind of Bill Belichick, which you would think would be a little bit easy since we went to the same college, but it's not because he's a scary, crazy man. So I'm sitting here saying, oh, they're going to do something boring. They're going to draft like an edge guy and an offensive tackle. Maybe this is the year where Belichick shocks us all and says, you know what? I know we still have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski for maybe a year or two. And, you know, the wise move would to be make one last run with those guys for the next couple of years. Now I'm going to mortgage the whole future and get Josh Rosen. Maybe he does something that crazy. I can't believe it would happen, but he's stunned me before.
Wasn't the stat out there that, or I guess it's, I don't know if it's a stat, but that last year the Patriots traded every single pick that they had initially, or like either up or down in some direction?
I think it's pretty close. I mean,
or all but one or something.
Belichick's basically like, you know, when you've simulated the entire Madden season just to get to the draft and you're like, I'm making all of this count. And so you sit there and you trade every pick up and down. You're moving all over the virtual draft board. Belichick's basically like a 13-year-old kid wired on Mountain Dew late at night doing his draft on Madden. That's what he's like. He treats it that way.
And he's on rookie mode while everyone else seems to be on all Madden difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way it seems. I mean, you saw the Mike Freeman piece where, you know, when they traded Brandon Cooks, you know, Freeman drops the tweet, I think, where he was just basically like, when Belichick makes a move, everybody else in the league wonders, like, What are we missing? What's going on? Now, is there something to that? I think some people probably feel that way. And so good for him. I mean, he's, you know, when Bill Belichick calls, you have to kind of wonder, you have to kind of, you know, put speakerphone on mute for a second and like ask everybody else in the room, hey, are we getting swindled here? It's kind of the way it is.
Well, let's for our purposes, let's kind of assume that the Patriots are feeling comfortable at this 31st overall pick. Maybe they move up from 23 and get somebody. But, you know, when we're looking at this 31st overall pick type range, you know, there's a lot of these sort of borderline first round, second round guys. And so coming up next on Locked On Bears, we're going to dive into some of these prospects that we think could potentially fall out of the first round and maybe potentially be there when the Bears pick at 39. Back with Mark Schofield here from Locked On Patriots and Inside the Pylon. We're talking some NFL draft, late first, early second round type prospects here. I want to kind of go a little bit position by position and give you a few names and try and kind of pick apart where draft stocks may or may not sit for a few of these guys. And I want to start with the wide receiver position because we've come a long way from the time when Calvin Ridley from Alabama was linked to the Bears, even with the 8th overall pick. His stock has kind of fallen. He's had the poor combine, and maybe his tape got a little bit overhyped because he was kind of the consensus number one guy for a while, and now there's not really a consensus number one receiver. So as he's kind of fallen, I think we see him get lower and lower even in mock drafts. Do you think there's a chance Calvin Ridley could fall all the way to the second round? Or do you think it's more likely that it's the likes of Cortland Sutton or maybe even DJ Moore if the NFL isn't as high on him, maybe as some of the draft community?
Yeah, Ridley's been such a strange little like test case this entire draft season because like you said, Lord, you come into the season, everybody's looking at him as like, oh, well, he's probably, you know, I mean, he's in the mix for wide receiver one coming in. Maybe he is wide receiver one going into the season, but he's definitely high on everybody's board. Then Alabama has this strange offense where, you know, they can't really get him the ball. Like he's open on film. And if you, you know, you're just watching him and studying him, it's like, look, this guy's open, but the offense can't seem to get him the football. Then, like you said, he has a tough combine where, you know, for people like, you know, MathBomb on Twitter who consulted with us for the ITP draft guide, you know, he has his relative athletic score and it's like 4.86, which is like middling at best. And so you're just wondering, like, where do we end up coming down on this guy? You know, and I think I'd be stunned if he really falls all the way out of the first round just because when you look at some of the things that he does well, when you look at his ability to change direction, his ability to accelerate, you know, his ability to like run really good, crisp routes, which is for a lot of receivers coming out of college, like they haven't needed to sort of refine their route running because they're getting open based on athleticism, scheme, or combination of those and basically working against guys that just can't cover to begin with. You know, and so when you have that sort of clinical technician, you know, similar in a sense to Amari Cooper when he came out in his route running ability, although I think Cooper was a better receiver coming out, I'm still hard pressed to see him falling all the way out of the first round, especially when you look at this wide receiver class as a whole, but it's just kind of a, you know, I don't think it's an overwhelming class. I think there are some guys that are, you know, good. You know, I don't think there's a guy that's going to jump out the page. It's going to be a clear, oh, this guy is a wide receiver one in the NFL. Like, this guy is going to be the guy that you build your passing game around. I don't think there's a collection of guys like that. I don't think there's a standout guy like that in this group. I think there's a lot of guys that are, okay, this guy's going to be a good number two. And you still need that. That's absolutely critical to have it on an offense. And it's worthy of a first-round pick, depending on team need. And so I think there are some teams that, you know, obviously need to address the wide receiver position. And I'd be hard-pressed to see him fall out of the first.
Well, I think this offensive line class has a similar ambiguity when you get past Quentin Nelson at the top, of course. And it seems to me like every year when you get into this, you know, 20 to 40 range of the draft, we seem to see like pretty high quality guards kind of fall in this range. And, you know, Nelson's going to go at the top, but we see these guys like Isaiah Wynn and Will Hernandez, and they've gotten a lot of first round hype. And I think in a lot of mock drafts, we're seeing them in the teens and in 20s type range. But do you get the feeling that from a positional value standpoint that one of these guys could fall in? And maybe let's throw Billy Price from Ohio State in there, like with his injury, and then Wynn had the labrum injury at the Senior Bowl. Price's, I believe, was at the combine. You know, do you see these offensive linemen maybe potentially falling, or is this a such a talented enough class that we could see three or four potential guard/centers sneak into the bottom of this first round?
Yeah, I think these guys do sneak in for a couple of reasons. I mean, when you look at the offensive class as a whole, I think you can make the case that, you know, at least in terms of like near the top of the boards, the interior offensive line is just stronger than the tackles. I mean, the tackles, you got question marks all around. I mean, whether it's Connor Williams, Mike McGlinchey, you know, Colton Miller, like I mentioned, you know, some of the other guys, you know, Alex Kappa, who we saw down in Mobile. But then you look, obviously, you got Quentin Nelson. I like Wynn a lot. I like Hernandez a lot. The guys on the inside, Daniels, the center, you know, you mentioned Billy Price. I think those guys are good that can come in and start, you know, depending on obviously with Price and his torn pectoral, that can start as rookies. And plus, when you look at sort of the evolution of defenses schematically, you look at how many teams now continue to use those sub-Russian packages where you're getting a guy like, say, Brandon Graham kicked inside with, you know, 4 minutes to go or so in the Super Bowl, and he's working against the guard, and he beats somebody, you know, knocks the ball out of Tom Brady's hand. Like, teams want to be able to have that sort of chip on their defensive play call sheet where they can, you know, attack the interior. So now offenses need to respond. You need to have guys that can, you know, be athletic on the inside, that can win in pass rushing situations against potential edge rushers. And that's why I think Isaiah Wynn is such an intriguing prospect, because he played left tackle in the SEC. He's gone up against quick edge rushers before. Maybe you kick him inside. I mean, over at ITP, you know, when we looked at him, we basically said, look, we'd still try him at left tackle. We still think he can play there. But if you want to kick him inside, fine. He showed that he could do it down in Mobile, and you can get him against those guys. Same thing with Hernandez, you know, Price, Daniels, the centers as well. And so I think because of the schematic sort of, you know, the way defenses are trying to go and the importance of being able to protect the quarterback, you need guys on the interior as well that can do that. And so I think because of that need, you know, those guys will come off the board in the first, maybe later in the first. I've seen a lot of mocks with, you know, Hernandez and Wynn still being on the board at, say, 23 or even 31. But I think they'll probably, you know, they'll hear their names called, I think, in round one, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're such talented players. It just comes down to whether or not the NFL is going to value that position. I'm curious to even to see where Quentin Nelson goes. I mean, as far as a guy that's probably the best or second or third top three prospect in this draft, but quarterbacks are going to go in the top five, and then positional value, you know, Bradley Chubb probably goes first, Saquon Barkley goes first, and then, you know, does Quentin Nelson make it to eight? Does he go past eight? You know, the Bears take another guard top 10. I mean, we'll see what happens with this offensive line. But I want to move to the interior pass rushers because you mentioned them there. And there's a pair of guys here in this draft range that have a similar mold. I mean, maybe not quite physically, but in terms of, I guess, style of prospect, Daron Payne and Taven Bryant, a couple of defensive linemen here that have a lot of athletic ability and some really rare physical tools, but maybe aren't quite the refined prospect that you would necessarily want to plug in as a day one starter just yet. But, you know, when we've seen Robert Kimdichie go like 26th, I think, and I don't remember where the Minnesota kid went, Hageman, did he fall in the second round?
Off the top of my head, I thought he still went in the first.
He went to the Falcons, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's Rashid Hageman. You have him going in, I believe.
No, he went at 37.
37,
so he
yeah. But there you go. You have Kimdichie goes like 27 or 26, doesn't have the immediate impact and was maybe a little bit more raw than people thought. Hageman maybe goes a little bit more where he probably fit, and now he currently doesn't have a team. So what are your thoughts on the stock of a guy like, you know, Taven Bryan and Daron Payne? Do you think that the league is still intrigued by these sort of freak athlete defensive tackles, and or would they be scared off a little bit more from like Kimdichie Hageman, or is the growth of like Aaron Donald and this interior pass rush maybe going to push those guys up?
Yeah, see, I'm leaning more towards the latter in that, you know, the NFL, like we were just talking about, the ability to sort of be athletic up front for a defense and sort of attack in pass rushing situations. You know, you're talking about guys, you know, look at Brian. I mean, he just tested, you know, out of the gym basically at the combine. I mean, talking a guy like that, you know, a 4.98, 40-yard dash, you know, it's 6 feet, you know, 291. Now, that's pretty incredible. That's kind of bursted. You're going to see him win plays right off the snap. You know, and some of the thing goes for, you know, Daron Payne. I mean, again, 4.9, on the 40, 1.66 10-yard split. Like both of these guys, you know, great athletic scores. And when you combine that with some of the stuff that they did show on film, you know, when you look at a Payne, like his ability to sort of, you know, win at engagement, be the first to initiate contact, good play speed to carry out his assignments. You know, these are guys that I think you're going to be able to win with. You guys are going to help you get off the field on third down. Now, you know, given the fact that we're going to see so many quarterbacks early, given the fact that other guys are going to fall down the boards, maybe these guys do fall into that sort of, you know, 25 to 35 range where they might be on the board, say at 31, they might be on the board early in the second round. But these are guys that are going to help you get off the field in third down. And that's so critical to you know, winning games in the NFL. And so I think both these guys are certainly worthy of consideration, you know, at the end of the first round. If they're on the board early in the second, I think they fit the bill.
Well, a lot of this analysis we're hearing now from Mark Schofield, it's coming straight from this Inside the Pylon draft guide. Mark, take a quick minute here. Tell us about how the guide came together, you know, where people can find it, what all is inside, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, this is our second draft guide. We tried to make it a little bit bigger last year. You know, we had, you know, maybe like 10 guys working on it. We did a top 100 and kind of kept it short, sweet. This year, we started basically when last year's draft ended, we started watching guys. We had a team of about 50 guys working on this, 50 men and women. We built together our top 185. We watched over, I think, 530 players. We got over 1,000 reports because basically what we did was, you know, you're not just getting me on quarterbacks. You're getting me, you're getting Ted Wynn, you're getting Tim Chow, getting Joe Ferriola and Dave Archibald doing cross-checking reports on these guys. So I would turn in a report on, say, Josh Rosen and get two people filling out their own cross-check reports. We'd have debates on these guys. And we put together, you know, our top 185. We put together horizontal boards, vertical boards. And in the draft guide, which you can get at itpdraftguide.com, you know, you'll see, you know, we've got stuff on, you know, analytics and athletic testing on these guys. You know, we've got some of our discussions and debates on these players. You'll see what, you know, some dissenting opinions in on guys. And we've also got, you know, snippets on some of the guys that didn't make our top 185. So you can see, you know, some of the other guys that are in the conversation as well. So basically you can be assured that if a player is picked by your team, that we've at least watched film and, you know, got some reports in on him. And if this sounds interesting to you, you can go to itpdraftguide.com. You can pick up a copy. Use promo code Trubisky5. That's right. As in Mitch, Trubisky5. It's special for Locked On Bears listeners. Get you $5 off. That runs through April 21st. So definitely you can check that out there.
Yeah, once again, that is Trubisky5 for $5 off the Inside the Pylon Draft Guide. I want to move on here to a position of need building more and more, I think, for the Chicago Bears here. It's the edge rusher spot. You know, they've got Leonard Floyd and they added Aaron Lynch, but I feel like they still need their next young rotational piece in here. And this is a spot where the Patriots have kind of been in some of these discussions. You mentioned one of the guys earlier, Sam Hubbard. The other name I want to add in there is Lorenzo Carter, because I think there's a pretty wide range of opinions on him. I think some people see him in the first round. Some people may be closer to the third round. But first of all, I guess if Sam Hubbard's there at 31, is he getting by the Patriots in your opinion? Or is that just sort of a causal link? And then B, what's your thoughts on Lorenzo Carter as far as where you would slot him in the draft?
Well, you know, let me put it this way. You know, Hubbard and Carter were edges, you know, 3 and 4 for us over at the ITP draft guy behind, you know, Chubb and Landry. And as far as Hubbard, I've said this before, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that he's already like at least looking at real estate listings in the, you know, in the Boston area. Because he just screams Patriots to me. I mean, he was a position switch. You know, he comes to Ohio State. He's a safety there, but then they kick him down, you know, to the edge. Former lacrosse player. So, I mean, that just screams Bill Belichick right there with Belichick's sort of love for the lax game. And, you know, you look at him, he's got some versatility as well. I mean, Hubbard's sort of, you know, he could play a one gap 4-3-5 technique. He could be a 3-4 outside linebacker at Sam Will. That's what, you know, Nick Filato, who scouted him over at ITP, wrote about him. He's got some versatility to his game. So I think, you know, it would stun me if he's at the board. He's still on the board at 31 to begin with. It would stun me if he's on the board at 31, the Patriots pass on him. So we really liked Hubbard and we liked Lorenzo Carter as well. I mean, like I said, he was our edge four in this class. You know, we can only, you know, twist up athletes, got ideal length, never really put up big numbers, so the production isn't there, so you wonder about that. But I mean, speed, explosiveness, just another, you know, really impressive athletic score from Mathbomb that we incorporated as well. You look at a broad of 130 inches, 36-inch vertical jump, 10-yard split of 1.56 in the 40 with a 4.5 40-yard dash. I mean, that's some athleticism. That's some burst upfield. I could see why people might sort of wonder about him, you know, because there's that lack of production, you know, especially when you're talking about a guy that played in the SEC. You expect to see some production from him, and we didn't see as much as you would have liked. But still, you know, you're drafting a guy for the traits. You're drafting a guy for how he's going to fit into what you're doing, not so much for what he was doing at Georgia. And I think because of that athleticism and because, look, you got to attack the pocket. The most important place on a football field is the pocket. You need a guy that can throw from it, guys that can block it, and guys that can attack it. And Carter looks like a guy that can attack it.
One last position I want to hit you with here before we let you go. This cornerback spot I think has been interesting, and it tends to follow a similar path every year where we get one or two guys kind of locked at the top that people fairly well find a consensus on. But then as we get through like the teens and 20s in the draft, you know, maybe there starts to be a little bit of run on them, or maybe they start to fall into this sort of blurry first, second round range. Like I think of last year, there were a lot of guys in that like Buda Baker, Kevin King, you know, even cornerback safety type murky range of some people really like him high in the first round and some people really don't see it in the second round. And there's a few guys that I think are floating in this area for me. Jaire Alexander, Josh Jackson, and Mike Hughes. Three guys where some people will say Josh Jackson is a top 10 pick or Jaire Alexander, top 10 type guy. I don't think I've quite seen Mike Hughes that high. So would you think Hughes might be the most likely to slip through the cracks into that second round? Maybe doesn't quite have the hype or the super upside that some of these other guys have, or how do you kind of feel this playing out? Because it seems like you have some different types of cornerbacks there, so sometimes you can have different teams with slightly different needs and opinions of these guys. So how do you try and parse through this cornerback class?
Yeah, that, I think where these guys are going to come out, the guys you mentioned, you know, Josh Jackson, Mike Hughes, Jaire Alexander, a lot of it's going to be determined by the needs and the schemes of the people, of the teams that are on the board, you know, looking at the cornerback class. Because, you know, Josh Jackson, he was our cornerback too over at ITP. You know, we liked him a lot. But the issue with him is he's much better in zone coverage than he is in man coverage. And if you're a man-heavy team, like that's not really his strength. And so you've either got to draft him hoping that you're going to develop him into a better man coverage corner than he is right now, or you look at other guys, and you know, a guy that would fit that bill, I think, is Jaire Alexander. I know that, you know, at ITP, he's our corner four, but I really like him. You know, and this is why they keep me away from, you know, really studying and offering, you know, full-on opinions on these guys more than cross-checks, is because I would really ban the table for him. And they're, you know, I'm a quarterback guy who's saying, look, man, I don't want to be throwing near that dude. You know, he's feisty. He's got that sort of mentality that you need to play corner. Now, you know, run defense is an issue. You know, play strength is kind of an issue. But those were issues on guys like Deion Sanders, you know? Nobody drafted Deion Sanders for his run support. But you need a guy that can be a shutdown corner. And Jaire Alexander, I think, can do that. I'm not making a one-to-one comparison between him and Deion. I'm just saying you need a corner to cover more than play run support. And if there is a guy I think that falls, it's probably Hughes, you know, because, again, like you kind of said, he doesn't have sort of the – you know, he doesn't really have that sort of like momentum coming into the draft as you would think. But look, if you're playing a lot of man, he's great in man coverage. He's got some physical talent. He's a bit undersized. Look, he's sub 6 feet. People seem to want the longer corners now. But look, if, you know, you need a guy that can stick on you in man coverage, you need somebody that can go up against some shifty Z type receivers, Hughes might be your guy as well. I think these are nice guys. It might just really depend on the needs and the schemes of the teams considering corner and looking at these guys.
One last general thing for you here about the draft. We've kind of touched on this topic in sort of specific ways, but when you look at the draft as a whole, and specifically, I guess, the first round as a whole, and sort of as a process, how much do you think, or do you have much of a feel for how teams react or don't react to previous year's classes? Like, I think about the cornerbacks, and Marshawn Lattimore and Tre'Davious White this year had phenomenal rookie seasons. Is that the type of thing that you would expect to push up the value of cornerbacks maybe in this class. We talked about it a little bit with athletic defensive linemen, but maybe that was a couple of years ago, and it's a little bit more sparse when you get those type of prospects. So do you find that the NFL is quick to jump on these sort of successful trends when it comes to the draft, or is it more like, okay, 3 years in a row of this, and then they start to finally get it?
You know, this league at its heart is a copycat league. You know, it just is. And, you know, Bears fans can kind of see that playing out right now, because you look at, you know, last year and the new success of, you know, Jared Goff under Sean McVay. You get a young offensive-minded, you know, head coach to work with your young quarterback. And then what do we see teams try to emulate? You know, look at the Chicago Bears. They get a young offensive-minded head coach to work with a young quarterback. You know, it's a copycat league from the schemes, from the personnel moves, from the hiring decisions. And I think it's going to pan out this way as well. Teams will look at the success of young corners coming into the league, for example, like you said, and think, look, you know, maybe we didn't think on film that these guys could translate right away, but clearly with their athleticism and their, you know, mentality, they can come in and play the position and, you know, be fairly successful corners, not shut down corners right away, but, you know, close to it and be on that path. I mean, look at Marshawn Lattimore, of course. And so I think, yeah, people sort of have that reaction, and there will be teams that say, look, you know, they made it work. It seems to work. So why don't we give this a shot? And so, yeah, I think there will be some reaction to previous year's drafts that would just seem to make sense to me. And that's a sense of where I think this league goes. But again, bringing it back full circle, it's always scary to hop into these guys' heads because who knows what they're thinking at any given moment. None other, of course, than my good friend Bill Belichick.
Well, and bringing this full circle, we see three wide receivers go in the top 10 last year and not a lot of production from them. And yet we also see the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks drafted early, come out and show a lot of upside and show a reason to want to pursue quarterbacks early in this draft, which is why we could see potentially four go in the top five or even the top four. But I know you're already fatigued on draft quarterbacks, so I'm not going to belabor that anymore.
I think that's a great point, Lauren, because and you look at sort of that copycat model where, you know, the Chiefs, they go up, they get a quarterback with every intention of him not playing a single snap last year, you know, because they wanted to have that sort of developmental path for him. You look at some of the teams we know are going to want to get a quarterback in this draft. You know, the Bills, they sign A.J. McCarron. The Browns, they trade for Tyrod Taylor. So they all have that sort of developmental piece in that little pathway in place for these guys so they can set themselves up for the future. They can go get a Josh Allen, a Josh Rosen, a Sam Darnold, a guy that might need to develop, maybe, maybe not, and they have a guy in place. And so, again, that brings us back to this being a copycat league and teams looking at how well Mahomes played when he came out for that one game. He's on a path now to take over. And they set it up by going and getting their guy, identifying the need, identifying the player they want, but having a good plan in place.
Well, and you're forgetting about the best bridge quarterback that the Bears didn't draft, Mitchell Trubisky, expecting him to play. You're forgetting about our friend Mike Glennon.
Perhaps, you know, the most ideal bridge quarterback of all time for a variety of reasons, but he certainly set the Bears up very well to have Mitch come in and take over.
And remind me again why I need to remember Trubisky's last name.
Trubisky 5. Use that promo code over at itpdraftguide.com. You can get $5 off. That's for Locked On Bears listeners. We want to take care of the people that listen to Lauren because he takes care of you guys. That's just it. That's the thing about the Locked On Podcast Network. You get people giving you knowledge every single day. It's just great stuff. And Lauren does a fantastic job here. And, you know, so he's going to try to take care of you.
Shucks.
I'm just saying.
Well, Mark, you're far too kind and you're far too generous with your NFL draft analysis. I grilled you on prospects for 25, 30 minutes there, and you just took it like a champ. Appreciate you taking the time to come out of the podcast.
As always, my friend, as always, it's a blast being on with you. We'll get you on Locked On Pat sometime soon here in the near future. And, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel is upon us. We will soon have – although, you know what I'm already dreading, man? The Monday after the draft when the first mock drafts drop for next year. Because they're coming. I'm just wondering, it's probably Ryan Finley, QB1. That's who I bet people will put down there.
Can you give me a school for that?
NC State.
Okay.
You know what? My quick 2019 take. Ryan Finley is who we hoped Mason Rudolph would be. That's my early 2019 quarterback take.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. Mark Schofield, he is the man not only for all NFL draft talk, but he is Twitter's resident quarterback expert. He does all sorts of great NFL breakdowns at Inside the Pylon. He's doing draft stuff for Pro Football Weekly. Of course, you can break down the New England Patriots like no other at Locked On Patriots. And you can follow him on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Mark, thanks again.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks again to Mark Schofield for joining us on today's podcast and for giving you, the Locked On Bears listeners, a special promo code for $5 off the ITP Draft Guide. Again, itpdraftguide.com, promo code Trubisky5. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to keep up with more Bears draft talk all this month, make sure you hit that subscribe button on your podcast listening app of choice. We're on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, Apple Podcasts. Be sure to like Locked On Bears on Facebook and follow the show's Twitter account at Locked On Bears. You can also follow my personal Twitter account at CoxSports1. We're going to continue our draft focus this week a little bit more on this second round type range. We're going to look at some potential prospects that could be nice fits with some of the names the Bears are mocked to in that first round. We'll look at what kind of pairs with these first two picks could be a nice little duo for the Bears to add on the first 2 days of the draft. So you better keep it locked on Locked On Bears. We'll keep bringing back great draft analysts like Mark, and we'll keep bringing more reasons to bear down.